Dramatic Prologue for the Profession of a Nun by Sor Marcela de San Felix. Solemn and most enlightened conclave, in each of whom sense, devotion, and wisdom dwell in equal measure. Oh, may I steer clear of contention. For refreshments, dear nuns, I beseech you, and I beseech your reverences, forgive me that I put you second, but I have poetic license, loquitur sermina tacis frasi sonat. To sum up, I beseech you all for a minute now to heed me, and heed a flood of tribulations and a reservoir of miseries, indeed to an ocean of misfortunes. Please lend compassionate ears. I come, good mothers and fine ladies, with a hurt that grieves me sore. I suffer a great and mortal anguish by an unheard-of offense. Never in all your lives have you heard of a similar disgrace, nor affliction thus shown abroad, nor of rot on so many tongues. Abundantiam malorum, tacitum numquam. You all recall that I am a poet, of the highest, indeed, bachelor's degree. Well known are they. I'll not rehearse my talents and qualities. Elsewhere I've told of my lineage, my descent and ancestry, of my good father and of my mother's great deeds and nobility. But somehow I forgot to tell, and it's certainly a fact I saw with my own eyes, that they drowned my old granny in a cask. But let me get back to that topic at hand. For such worldly things as these, though they greatly glorify a man, are full of vanity. Vanitas humana, pessima infirmitas. Well then, as I say, I told you all on a certain festive evening of how I was a worthy student suffering poverty. Necessitas magna care lege. Well then, my poverty inspired me to relate all of my needs in this convent of goodly nuns, or more aptly put, of beasts who prove themselves far worse than vipers in cruel severity. I shan't say this is true of all. With decorum and decency, you'll hear me speak of all the rest. Just three torment me. These were the nuns in charge of stores, women most bloodthirsty. They are a squadron of nunny devils. The very height of meanness. I'm not a rash or daring man, and my tongue shall not pronounce a single word not ministered by the force of reason. I'm not permitted to tell this tale, nor the beastly and cruel actions these women forged of iron performed by the force of my ire and shame. If you might have somewhere a drop your reverences could share, then let's have a sip, for my poor throat has gone quite dry with rage. Animum debilem vinum corroborat. I know that in this very convent, festivities would be held for the heavenly wedding feast of an angel pledged to God. Therefore, because I know full well that on occasions like these the blessed nuns enjoy performing holy comedies, I mean the dialogues divine in which lately they find some fun, it seemed to me that I could surely, given my wit and learning, by writing a dramatic prologue, escape from poverty, and at the very least could eat for a day or two or three. And then I thought the good secretary, Senor Deficiency, would be generous in this case, and have the house quite full indeed. I left for the convent in a trice, but oh, at the door I met a lion, a savage Hyrcanian tiger. I encountered, in short, a Marcella. Approaching her ever so carefully, I said with deference, "Good mother, is it a happy chance to run into your reverence? Because I have right here for you just what you need, I know it. Although my scholar's hood is ragged, I fancy myself a poet. And proud to be a disciple of the fertile riverbank Vega, the many offspring of whose wit gave Spain such grand resplendence, for you a prologue I've composed to accompany your fiesta, and it is my wish that every nun derive from it great pleasure." "Where have you put this prologue, then?" she rejoined with a mouth of thistles, all slanty-mouthed and draughty-mouthed and thorny-mouthed and splintered. "Good mother, I carry it at my breast. Here it is, your reverence. Show me the prologue, good fellow. God keep you, I'm off to chapel for terce." "Now, my good mother," I made reply, "I beg you the charity of giving me something, your reverence, for great is my poverty." "In Jesus' name, my friend, see here, far greater is our own need, for the persons number 42 that this convent must house and feed. With 100,000 expenses to meet and the scarcest revenue, not a single penny do we collect, and our debts are coming due." "I'm sure, good mother, that it is so," I said. "But please see here, for my poverty and my hunger, too, have the very simplest cure. Give me no more than a nice bread bowl of cabbage and lentils, stewed, and you'll have fulfilled all I could ask with a deed most kind and good. It surely would be good, in truth. Each cabbage costs 1 whole penny, 6 farthings each endive costs at least, and every measure of lentils, what with prices rising and carried on up, why, it easily comes to 50, and then the grocer's lads will want a drink and a bit of luncheon. Mariana, is it not just as I say? Since everything costs us more than it's worth, the good Lord himself only knows whether in fact God desires that nuns should be fed." These words were said by the first of her dear companions, and sisters indeed they might have been, both miserly and phlegmatic, but the next nunny verbiage, her second companion dear, more merciful, though little enough, would retrain this sad affair. "Mariana, please bring this poor lad a bite, for under the tablecloth I left 2 leeks and most of an egg, missing naught but its yolk. I have kept those for myself, so I may save on my supper. Your charity must not give it away. I am going to close up the cupboard. Now I can see how little you know of costs, your charity. With so little caution, O spendthrift woman, you give things away for free." This was said by the serpent herself, that harsh and sour Marcela. Then I found myself somewhat emboldened, for to be right grant some permission, and said to her, "Then, mother mine, in a fiesta like yours here, can there be nothing that is left over, not even a little pear, nor perhaps a morsel of boiled fish, nor a crust of bread today? If fish or fruit has been left over, or such things as you say, don't you see, brother, I still must face the greater part of Lent? And in it the Annunciation occurs, but first St. Joseph's is spent. Holy Thursday, obligatory to serve a good substantial meal. The Resurrection, 100 apostles from Easter to Christmastide. The Cross of Mary and St. Anne's Day, but first the Magdalene." And, if I had not interrupted, she would have recited the calendar then, leaving aside neither female nor male, on earth nor in highest heaven, whom this stingy woman would fail to include in her saint's day planning. She'd not fail to mention them, I mean. The refectory they'd not enter, save in the garland of saints read aloud or some other holy legend. "But can it be?" was my retort. "You've not even a bit of bread?" Miss Empty Pockets answered me, "And how should we have it, friend? You see how expensive bread has become, and 7 whole measures won't keep the convent supplied with enough for its use for even a single week. And we are, if indeed you do not know, plunged in the direst hardship." "Then may it not soften, good St. Bruno, give aid, by so much as a bit of water. You 3 most miserable and cruel and evil-hearted of ladies that were ever described in bygone tales or invented in stories, may God give you a ravening appetite and never let you fill it. When you break bread, may every bite stick fast in your gullet, and may all the rest of your food turn either salty or bitter. May you find 1,000 flies in your broth, and in your eggs find chiggers. May bits of dirt fall from your figs, and 1,000 worms from your raisins. May you have ringworm upon your scalps, and on your hands have scabies. And in your larders may you find little mice aplenty. And lest you take too great a part in a speech so lengthy, may not a molar or tooth remain in the mouth of any nun. May their bones stick out all over, may they vomit and never be done, and have cramps beyond all counting, and tapeworms and stitch in the side. May all of you sicken at water, so you go through gallons of wine. May not a one be able to eat simple olives or greens. May everything be banished away that brings you the slightest relief. May you only digest medicinal jams and nutmeg and dry biscuit, and may all the nuns at the top of their lungs shout that you've tried to kill them, and so were I not such a patient lad, I'd spout more imprecations, for a righteous anger requires of me this impressive demonstration.